Beloved radio friends, we thank you for tuning in to the program today. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus, we welcome you to the broadcast with greetings in the Savior's name. We will seek to conclude our meditation on the parable of the talents from Matthew 25. May the Spirit of God bring home to each of us the vital truth relating to the blessed return of our King, the Lord Jesus, and our responsibility until He comes. We touch upon verses 20 through 30, where we consider the reckoning day when the Lord comes back to receive from His servants the result of their using of His goods. We read in verse 19 by way of introduction those words that tell us, "After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them." Now let us examine the results of this accounting for each one. First, we have the five-talent servant. He gives his accounting, producing an increase. He had made with the five talents more. The end of verse 20 declares that fruit. "I have gained beside them five talents more." He had wisely increased and produced for his master more than that which had been entrusted to his stewardship. We come to the two-talent servant, who follows with his accounting in verse 22. We hear him say, "I have gained two other talents beside them." So that from these two accounts, let us repeat that the parable, through these two examples, teaches a blessed principle, that if we who are true servants of the Lord use our gift, it can be enlarged and it can be increased. My beloved fellow believer, if you and I wish to be more used of God, we must make sure that we are using right now and doing right now what our Master desires us to do for Him. Then the gift, or the gifts as the case may be, will be found increasing for His glory and surely for our joy. But now let's consider the reward. The same reward is given to both of these servants, as we read in verse 21, and read likewise in verse 23. For the Lord speaks the same words to each of these two servants, saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Each one receives a reward. The Lord does not speak any higher or a better word of approval to one more than the other, whether the five talent or the two talent, but both hear the same words of commendation. It is not a question, my beloved fellow believer, of how much we may have received of the Lord, but rather how we use that which has been given unto us. Faithful service, even in the smallest matter, even if there be but one talent, will bring His approval. And as to the meaning of the many things that may lie in the future, we will have to wait until we stand before Him, seeing Him face to face. But however, this lesson we can now take, we should be faithful to the Lord. Soon our Lord will come. We must and we shall give an account. But may we believers use what He has given to us and use it with confidence in Him as well as love for Him. But now let us consider the one talent person. We find in verse 18 concerning this man, "He dug in the earth and he buried his Lord's money. Now do not follow, I beseech you, any unscriptural explanation that sometimes has been given that this one talent person represents a believer who is unfaithful and because of unfaithfulness will be cast, as you have the ultimate outcome, will be cast into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, as it is recorded in verse 30. If you really believe that this is an unfaithful believer who is to be cast into eternal hell, then you are claiming that your salvation depends on not faith in the Lord Jesus, but your faithfulness, and not upon the work of the Savior upon the cross. There are some that also say that the use of our natural talents in this life will merit salvation at the end. Now this too is wrong teaching, and they both attack the very fundamental truth of the blessed gospel. For the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of his grace. No one is saved by works, whether it is before they profess salvation, or whether it is after they have professed salvation. Works can never save my soul, for as the scriptures declare, we are saved by grace through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Good works should follow, and to some degree they will follow, the genuine salvation of a believer, proving his or her reality, whether those works may be great or whether they may be small. For we cannot, and neither should we seek to reconcile, the gospel of God's grace for salvation with this case of an unprofitable servant in the parable. Let us note some facts regarding the true condition of this person. For some of the words reveal that he was neither a believer nor a true servant. First of all, if you know verse 24, he had no trust in his Lord, not one whit of confidence in him, for he tells the Lord, "Thou art a hard man," and he accuses his Lord of being a hard taskmaster. My beloved, can any sensible believer, and would any believer, ever say that of Christ, his or her Savior? My beloved, no Christian with honesty could ever say that. But then a second fact. Not only did he not trust his Lord, but he was afraid of him. What true believer should be afraid of the shepherd who loves the sheep and died for the sheep and cares for the sheep? Surely, this man, being afraid of his master, gives the evidence there was no faith in that master at all. But then, of course, a third fact. He never used his one talent at all. He buried it in the earth. Frankly, he was a lazy, good-for-nothing person. And yet he dared to accuse his Lord of being an unjust man. Now even this is enough to prove that the man was absolutely but a mere professing servant, for what the Lord had put before him and given to him and placed at his disposal, what did he do with it? Well, frankly, by the very action that he performed, burying it, he was refusing it. By not using it. And thus he buried it out of sight. Well, my beloved, do you think that when the Lord puts before men and women the great salvation that he has provided and the blessing for life eternal, that if anyone who would refuse, reject his love and his mercy and his grace in such a manner, and refuses to take what God offers him in love and grace, ignores it and buries it, please, do you tell me that he's a true servant of God and of Christ? No, my friend. These were his master's goods. And may I say, beloved unsaved listener, before the Lord Jesus went back to heaven, he left for every man and woman, boy and girl, a full and a free salvation, which had been paid for by his own precious blood through his death upon the cross, and the riches of a salvation for eternity. Without money and without price, he offers it to all. And when a person would take that salvation and cover it up, bury it, put it out of sight, can we not say this world's pleasures, the world's sins and lawlessness is all that he's interested in? Can that man produce anything for God? Absolutely not. For the master calls him, if you don't mind noting it, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." Oh, may I be reminded with you, my beloved listener, there are many that profess to be servants of Christ that are not genuinely born again. But let us raise the question, as you see the sentence of this man. Could you dare to say that this could ever be true of a servant of God, a true believer? Never. Now know what we read is the sentence of the unprofitable servant. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now let me raise a question. Would the blessed Savior of sinners ever take one of his own sheep, one who has trusted him as her or his own personal Savior, would he take and cast them afterward into eternal judgment? Ah, that blessed shepherd of the sheep said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. John chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, and go on and read verse 30, if you will. My friend who may be unsaved, I wish to assure you emphatically that if you come to the Savior, he will never cast you out. For is it not written, and his own words declared it, him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37. To you, my beloved unsaved listener, why not come to him, I ask, before he returns, before you could be cast out? Come to him now as a repentant sinner, confessing your need and by faith accepting him as your blessed Savior. Then you can live for him. Then you will have the privilege of serving him. And when he comes back, you too can merit the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Yes, you can receive his commendation, his promotion, and his joy over you, if you will but come to him and seek to follow him. Father, we pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, take the feeble effort that we have made, but speaking thy precious word, honor thy truth to the blessing of saints and the salvation of sinners, in our Savior's name, for his glory we pray. Amen.